With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
This is Wes Bunning, the director of college scouting here at the National Football Post, and you're listening to Draft Talk. This is version 5.0, and our guest this week is from NFL Network and NFL.com, Albert Breer, and we're here to talk about Ohio State. So, Albert, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Wes. You?
I'm doing well, and I want to thank you. I appreciate you coming on today, and you being an Ohio State alum, I thought it'd be fun to pick your brain a bit this week. And we'll start with Boom Heron. Got his first touches this week versus Illinois, coming off the suspension. 23 carries, 114 yards, 5.0 average. Initially this week, what'd you see from Boom?
Well, I thought Boom looked outstanding. He'd always been, and I think at his best over the last couple of years, what you've seen from him, almost looks like Travis Henry used to at Tennessee. That short, compact guy who, despite his size, is a power type of runner. And, he's the type of player, I think, that if you're an offensive lineman, you love to block for because you know where he's going to be. He's going to read the play properly, and you know he's going to get what's there. Is he a home run hitter? Probably not. But, I think you saw a better burst from him on Saturday against Illinois than you've seen. And, obviously he's one of the kids who, and I think this is a plus too. You look at Pryor, his situation obviously blew up after the 5-game suspension. You look at Posey and things got worse for him as well, not to the level of Pryor, but worse. Heron was able to limit the damage, him and Mike Adams. So I think, you got to give him some credit from that standpoint too. And, his handling of this obviously is reflected in how the coaches felt using him, and to go to him that often and to go to him that quickly in his first game back, I think says that he's done a lot of the right things. He should be held accountable for what he did before, and I'm sure he'll be asked plenty of questions when he gets to the pros. Is he a first round pick? No. But I think he can be a complimentary piece to your offense at the NFL level. Like I said, looks a little bit like Travis Henry, maybe an Ahmad Bradshaw type of player, who could be a compliment in the backfield in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Albert. And I think the most interesting point you brought up, and you talk about Mike Adams as well, is these guys are both talented players. Coming off the suspension, they could have very easily just said, we're going to rely on our talent. We're not going to put in the effort we need to be great players. We're just going to try to get away with our talent. And I think we saw from Mike Adams against Nebraska, this guy's been busting his hump in the offseason. I thought his technique was a little better than last year. Same with Boom Heron. I thought this guy, like you talked about, the burst initially when asked to press the line of scrimmage, I thought that was a little bit improved from last year, which is a definite plus. The guy runs hard. He's got a natural feel between the tackles. And like you said, if he wasn't ready to handle the load, the Ohio State coaching staff wouldn't have gave it to him right away. 23 carries coming off, I believe he missed the first 6 games of the year. That's impressive, and you can tell this guy, from a physical standpoint, despite being 5'10", 205, he runs behind his pads, he takes good care of himself, and he's got that natural power for a slightly undersized back that allows him to run a whole lot bigger than his frame would actually lead you to believe.
Yeah, I think one thing, like you said, this is a backfield that, has been searching for that guy, and I think they've been some of the players have shown some stuff. Now, Carlos Hyde, of course, isn't a superstar, but he had a big run against Nebraska. Jordan Holland's spurts has looked really good for him. So it's not like he was walking into a situation where there was nothing there. There have been backs that have gotten opportunities, and I think backs that, the staff there like, to decide to kind of stray a little bit from that committee approach, really let Boom handle the ball first game back, I think said a lot for where he is, like you said.
Yeah, and I agree with you talking Travis Henry, you talking Ahmad Bradshaw. Is this a guy that's going to carry the load and be that dynamic number one workhorse back at the next level? No, I agree. I don't see him as that, but kind of like the second-tier running backs that we saw last year that have gotten playing time early this year, the Delone Carters of the world, he started this week. But I think he's better off, like you said, that 1-2 punch, complementary role, where when that defensive line starts to wear down a bit, and with his aggressive running style, his ability to play quick in tight areas, accelerate, and the one thing I think he does really well is he creates on his own. If something's not blocked off correctly, he's got enough short area quickness and enough power to make a man miss, create, and then accelerate into the second level. And I think that's a skill set that'll never go out of style in the NFL.
Yeah, and he has made big plays over his time at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. He's not a true home run hitter, but if he gets in the open field, it's not all that easy to catch him.
Yeah.
He's not going to run 4.3 at the combine, but he is a guy who, like you said, can make those plays in the open field. And, I think, again, the fact that the coaching staff was willing to count on him to that level that early on, I think, says a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. And one of the biggest misconceptions is that the big plays happen from speed alone. And you got to be able to make a man miss. And there's a reason why Larry Johnson was able to lead the league in big plays at one point, because he could make people miss and break tackles. And I think that's a skill set that Dan Heron possesses as well. Moving on, we're going to go to the offensive line. And two guys I'm sure that were really happy to have Boom Heron back, because we talked about his feel, being able to pick his way through tight quarters inside and knowing exactly where the running back is. And one guy who's been there, starting the year, didn't get in trouble at all, has been Michael Brewster, the center there. I think there's been a lot of pressure on him this year without a starting quarterback who we thought would be there, without the starting receiver in Posey, without Heron, without the left tackle. A lot of this pressure has fallen right on Mike Brewster. And has he been as good as he was last year up until this point? I'd say he's been close. But I think taking on more of the leadership and more responsibility puts a lot of added pressure on him. What has been your take on Mike Brewster so far this year?
Well, you're right. There's a ton on him. So from a leadership standpoint, I think he's most certainly one of the guys that Luke Fickell's had to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can go all the way back to the summer that Brewster was, and to his credit, Brewster took it on, too, that this was on him. That he had to take on a lot of that leadership. And, I think it's something that, Brewster's been under a ton of pressure since he got there. If you want to go all the way back to when he was recruited, he came in with a class, Shugarts was in that class as well, the class mm-hmm. of offensive linemen that were heralded as the guys who were going to fix everything. And they'd come off that loss to Florida in the BCS championship game where Jarvis Moss and Derek Harvey ran circles around the offensive line. And the idea was to get more athletic up front, and those guys played early. And those guys, all had the comparisons. And I think Brewster was under as much pressure as anybody from day one, expected to be the next Nick Mangold at Ohio mm-hmm. State. I think in a larger sense, he's lived up to a lot of the hype. He's mm-hmm. been a very good player. Now, I don't think he's the physical talent that Mangold is, but, from a leadership standpoint, I think that he was put in a very difficult position this year, and I think he's handled it fairly well. Again, I think a lot of it relates to the level of player that was around him the last few years, and having Terrell Pryor at quarterback, say what you will about what kind of quarterback he was, Terrell Pryor covers up for a lot of problems on the offensive line that you might have, in my mind, a guy like Brewster, there's a ton more on him this year in that situation. And,
mm-hmm.
I think he's done, you talk to people at school, he's done a fine job handling everything. And he's a guy that the players respond to there. And he's a guy who can captain your line, and that's what you need out of your center, especially in a situation where you're going to have a shuffling that they had this year with Mike Adams' suspension.
Yeah, I agree. I like Brewster as a prospect. 6'4", about 305. And for a guy those dimensions, a little taller at the center position, he can bend and play with leverage. He's not a great power player. If you're looking for a center to drive someone off the football, I don't think that's his forte, but he takes good angles. He understands leverage. And for a guy at his size, when he's able to get his hands up, which he does extremely well, inside leverage, he does a nice job sitting to that base, creating, making himself a little stronger than he actually is, and slides well through contact. I thought he did a nice job. I watched him versus Michigan State. They have Jarrell Worthy there, and he gave those guards a ton of fits. But when matched up one-on-one with Brewster, and I thought he was able to get his hands up and engage with him, I really thought he did a nice job versus Worthy, who's going to be possibly a first-round pick. So when you watch him versus talented players, his initial quickness, there's not a ton of wasted motion getting into contact. He can stick to players, and then all the intangibles like you talked about, they're obviously there as well.
Yeah, and you kind of have to, the context of him coming in there, and when he was recruited and came in, and I believe he's from Florida. The idea was to counteract what the Southern teams have been able to do to Ohio State's offensive linemen in the past, and he was a little bit different of a lineman than Ohio State had recruited in the past, because if you look at it, Alex Boone had been a huge recruit for us, and you watch Jarvis Moss and Derek Harvey undressing, and then LSU's defensive line doing a number on the group again the following year, in the next year's national championship game. And the context of him coming in was they wanted to get more athletic on the offensive line to be able to handle what SEC teams would throw at them. I think you saw that against Arkansas last year. You could see how much better we were up front, how much more equipped the offensive line was to handle athleticism. Again, I don't think that he's not special to the level of what Nick Mangold was, and that's probably an unfair comparison that he's had to live up to throughout his career. But can he be a starter in the NFL? I think he can.
Yeah.
I think he can be a guy who's a solid starter in the NFL, plays a decade in the league, because any physical shortcomings that he has, he can make up for with his head.
Yeah, and the one thing, the ton of blown protections at times with guys just not knowing who to pick up, Brewster keeps his head on a swivel as well as anyone and finds those guys. I mean, he covered up a lot of mistakes. I remember those first couple of weeks where the guards just had their heads, clueless at times. And I agree. I think this is – I don't know if he's a blue-chip guy. I don't even know if he's a red-chip player in the NFL, but I think he's a guy that can come in. He can fight for starting reps year two, year three, somewhere in there. And once he gets that starting job, he's going to be a tough guy to grab it from. And I think he'll be a nice fit as a starting center for a team, like you said, 5-10 years in the league. But moving on, the last guy we want to talk about, Albert, is Mike Adams. And he talked about these highly recruited offensive linemen. Watching tape of Adams as a junior, the talent was always there. I felt like he wasn't giving me, there was something missing. He reminded me a little bit of Joseph Barksdale. And I had questions with him missing the first five games of the year. If this is just going to be a talented guy that never plays up to it. And then I watched him versus Nebraska, and I watched him versus Illinois. And like I said earlier, this is a guy who must have been doing a ton of work. He looked motivated. He looked much more balanced, especially laterally in pass protection. And in my opinion, I don't know if there's a better senior offensive tackle in the country at this stage. That's how much he's impressed me.
And the athleticism, of course, is a key with him.
Yeah.
He's a super athlete. I mean, he really is. And again, like I said, the same thing what I said about Brewster applies to Adams. They wanted to get more athletic on the offensive line, and Mike Adams was part of the group that kind of did that, him and Brewster and Shugartson. So, Mike Adams has always been kind of had that reputation of being raw and everything else. I would say the same thing, what I said about Boom Heron also applies to Adams here. Boom Heron did get the extra game suspension. Mike Adams had nothing to do with suspension. So, he did a lot of the right things. I think, for those two guys, it's really a credit to them. They didn't get deeper in it. What I can tell you, Wes, is that, and this will speak well for, I think, the way they've handled the whole situation. If you look at the way this has been covered in Columbus, and the way that, national media outlets have covered the whole thing with Ohio State, every little thing is being scrutinized now. I mean, maybe to the level that no program's ever had. It's where every $100 handshake it seems is getting busted. And so, I think for a guy like Mike Adams, being able to straighten up and fly right in that situation, I know it sounds weird that you know, just behave yourself, you know. But being able to straighten up and fly right in that environment, and being able to handle all the things flying around him, and being able to do a better job with it than, say, Posey or Pryor did, you know, I think it's a credit to him. And, you know, then you bolster that with what you were just talking about, how he's improved and how he was able to step in, you know, against two ranked teams in his first 2 weeks of the season, with everybody else having a five-game head start,
mm-hmm.
game reps on him, and stand out like that. It speaks a lot for the job that he did getting ready.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I watched him versus Adrian Claiborne last year just to see where he was at. And he wasn't a guy that ever had problems reaching the corner or anchoring. It was always on making sure he was balanced and compact enough with his footwork. When he did reach the edge, he'd be able to cleanly redirect and mirror. And like you said with Nebraska, this was a guy that I keyed in on, and I couldn't stop watching him, to be honest, because he didn't let anyone get a sniff of the quarterback. He's doing a much better job, and I'm looking forward to seeing how long those arms are and exactly how big he is, because he looks like a 6'7 guy with 34-plus-inch arms, and he's doing a much better job on his punch, gaining leverage, and sticking the players through contact. It looks like the light's starting to go on, and maybe this is a circumstance where he's been able to get by with so much talent. Now the light's kind of going on. He realized he had football taken away and how much he enjoyed it. Maybe I need to start improving on my trade a little more, and it looks like it has, because he's had two heck of a performances these first 2 weeks for a pretty good left tackle, regardless.
Yeah, and hey, you know, you can't say the job the offensive line was able to do last week, and really, you know, several points over the course of the season, playing against Illinois on the road with the passing game where it is and a true freshman in there as quarterback and only having one completed pass. I mean, basically, Ohio State said to Illinois, here's what we're going to do and stop it. And the linemen were able to dominate in that environment. To me, there's a lot about the job, both, you know, all five of those guys, but really Brewster and Adams, where they're at right now. As leaders in that group, that attitude is there. That edge is there. That, you know, Ohio State have become a little bit of a spread team with Terrell Pryor there. And, you know, I like the fact that this has really become an I formation team in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
that can go right at opponents like that. And, you know, to be able to do it with no real passing game to speak of, with your number one receiver on the shelf, you know, I think it says a lot about those linemen and the job that they've done, you know, in a challenging, challenging environment this year.
Yeah, I agree. And we got to remember, too, Mike Adams is, what, 22 years old? Brewster's 22. They're still kids at this stage. And honestly, I've been impressed with Adams both physically. I think he's really developed nicely during the suspension. I currently have him as the number one offensive tackle, and I think if he continues to improve, this is a guy that can play left tackle in the NFL pretty early in his career, because physically, this guy, he can be as good as he wants to be, I think.
Yeah, and he, again, the ceiling with him is, I think, what'll probably really intrigue NFL guys, and when you look at him, it's just, he doesn't look, he's one of those guys that's over 300 pounds, and doesn't look heavy.
No.
You know, doesn't look like he's carrying more weight than he should. And you know, I know once he gets into that combine environment, you know, and once you look at the job that he's done, if he can keep this up over the last 6 weeks of the season, you know, something that'll serve him well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many junior tackles come out, but physically this guy's gonna impress. Well, Albert, I want to thank you for coming on today. Can you tell the listeners first where they can find you at?
Yeah, you can find me on the network, of course, on NFL.com. My columns go up there three times a week. I've got my my transition game column that'll go up later today. My NFL notes column goes up on Thursday. My picks column that goes up on Friday. And then, of course, you can catch me like everybody else on Twitter, and that's at Albert Twitter.
So we'd be better off looking for places not to find you, Albert, than actually.
Yeah, that might be.
Well, thanks for coming on again, and I want to thank all the listeners for listening to Draft Talk. We'll be on every Tuesday, 7 o'clock at night, with a new guest every week. So thanks for listening, and have a good week.